The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I heard Bart Scott, Bart and Han, talking about what the Jets need to do. We can touch on that because I don't see him getting Deshaun. But they may not need to get Deshaun to turn this thing around. Time for the Lakers to cut LeBron's minutes. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. LeBron went, according to Dave McMenamin's article on ESPN.com, does excellent work, of course. People in L.A. know all about Dave McMenamin. Anyway, from 43rd in the league in minutes played to, what, top three, leading the league in minutes this month? That a good idea for a 36-year-old with 100 billion miles on his legs? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. LeBron. I mean, look, first of all, the Wizards with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. I mean, it was a matter of time before these two started figuring it out. That's a vicious backcourt. What are the comparable backcourts in the league? In Phoenix, obviously, Chris Paul and Devin Booker. When McCollum is healthy, obviously Portland with CJ and Dame Lillard. I mean, clearly, Harden and Kyrie, you got some great backcourts, but that's one of them in Washington. And LeBron and the Lakers lost to him. Now, it was in overtime, and the reason he even goes to overtime is because LeBron misses a free throw. But I'm not just talking about, like, plays that you remember, like the pass to Caruso in the corner and Caruso misses a three. Oh, why is LeBron giving up the shot? He should take the shot. Nah, he made the right play there. Trust Caruso. Trust your teammate. He had a good look. LeBron passed up a shot for a better shot, he thought, and his teammate missed it. That's okay. And you miss a free throw. I get that. That happens. Well, it's tired legs. I don't know. Like, you know, you can miss a free throw even with the money on the line. It happens to everyone. But LeBron's overall play this month, you know, like I brought it up yesterday, his PER, it's not a perfect stat, obviously. But when people go, how many points, rebounds, and assists, it takes all that into consideration per possession, basically, and more. It's a pretty good, you know, quick little account of how someone's doing on offense, at least the efficiency. LeBron's PER, and understand something about PER. Usually an MVP is going to have a PER over 25. Usually a guy under 25 is probably not even in the conversation. Not for MVP. And usually the MVP, the PER, like, approaches 30. LeBron's under 24 right now and falling. It's the lowest it's been since his rookie year. Now, understand, and I brought this up on First Take today, and I brought this up yesterday. Every single time LeBron James takes the court, every time, it's an experiment. We're setting a new record, and he's breaking his own record. No player in the history of the game has gone this many professional minutes with this many professional miles on his legs and still been elite like LeBron, not even Kareem. So every time he takes the floor, it's a new record. And we don't know the effects of playing, you know, especially this month. The minutes go way up because not only is AD out, but Schroeder's out. So LeBron really needs to run the show, right? More than ever, they have to resist the temptation, the Lakers. They got to resist the temptation, even if it affects playoff seeding. You must have LeBron fresh for the playoffs. By the way, of course, he still gave you 31-13-9, but with 8 turnovers. How do you like Westbrook and Bradley Beal as a 1-2? 32-14-9 for Russell Westbrook. 33-7-6 with 3 steals for Bradley Beal. Whew. So the Lakers are still 22-10, but they're trending in the wrong direction. It's not just the 3 straight losses and the 1-4 mark in their last 5 games. It's not just that. It's that LeBron, almost but maybe not quite imperceptibly, is not quite as effective as he was earlier in the year. Now, look, people hit a rookie wall ask Tyrese Maxey, right? Like, you know, the guys in any team you look at, a guy, you know, and that goes for veterans too. Veterans, especially great two-way players responsible for carrying their team. You know, you're approaching the All-Star break. Obviously, you're not going to miss the playoffs. You have a really good record. You got some injuries. You know, fatigue could set in a little bit. I get that. But again, 36 in his 18th year. And I got to tell you something. I brought this up too. I was in L.A. doing Afternoon Drive with Marcellus Wiley, Max and Marcellus. L.A. knows what I'm talking about. I was in L.A. at that point, and we were the Afternoon Drive show, and the Lakers are on KSPN Los Angeles, and we're then. And Kobe Bryant and the Lakers have put together a super team, supposedly, right? Because their three-peat had been snapped by the Mavericks, and they went out and got Pau Gasol and, I mean, obviously Pau's already on the team. They went out and got Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. So it was Dwight Howard and Steve Nash joining Pau Gasol and Kobe Bryant, and everyone was like, oh, here we go. LeBron had gone to Miami this time. Here comes Heat Lakers. LeBron and Kobe finally meet in the finals. But it was going sideways. D'Antoni wasn't the right fit for that team. He wanted, like, Gasol off the bench. He wanted Gasol to be a stretch four, and Gasol didn't really shoot the three, and Kobe didn't like what was going on, and the Lakers were losing, and they were going to miss the playoffs. And I remember this very well. Kobe Bryant basically staged a mutiny. He basically took the ball and said, look, coach, I'm just trust me. I'm going to run this show. And the Lakers had a great record. They went something, I want to say 26-12. It was something like that. And Kobe, that team was going to miss the playoffs. I've never seen a team that talented in danger of missing the playoffs altogether. Kobe played him into the playoffs. But I remember there was a two-week stretch where he was playing 44 minutes plus a game. And it was really, like, you know, D'Antoni, whether or not he wanted Kobe to do it, Kobe was in charge. He was going to play as much as he wanted to play. D'Antoni didn't have the standing to tell Kobe, no, you can't. We're cutting your minutes. And Kobe absolutely played him into the playoffs. But his Achilles went. And I remember I was on the air saying every day, hey, this is dangerous. It's too many minutes. It's too many minutes. And his Achilles went. And Kobe took fanatical care of himself, as LeBron does. And that's only one reason why you have to be careful if you're LeBron James, if you're the Lakers and LeBron. It's not just, oh, chance for catastrophic injury. It's not just, well, you may wear down over time and right now not be as effective as you might otherwise be if you pull back the minutes. But the Lakers got their eyes on the prize. The Lakers are trying to win a championship this year. You need LeBron with gas in the tank for that long playoff run. In the NBA, the playoffs are a whole other season. Here's LeBron James at the press conference after the game on this issue of resting.
I mean, I'm resting now. I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I'm resting when I get in my car and head home. I'm resting when I get home. I'll rest tomorrow. You know, I think this whole narrative of, you know, LeBron needs more rest, or I should take more rest, or I should take time here, has become a lot bigger than what it actually really is. I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. You know, we all need more rest. I mean, this is a fast turnaround from last season, and we all wish we could have more rest. But, you know, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates.
That is the attitude LeBron is supposed to have. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. That is the attitude LeBron is supposed to have. The head coach is supposed to have enough weight, enough standing, enough gravitas, and enough respect from the team that he can protect the superstar from himself. Not unlike, in this respect, a corner man in boxing. Of course, the fighter, by the way, we all look into the corner, the cameras and the mics are there. Does this fighter want to quit, or does he still want to go? And the fighters, by the way, are aware, yeah, if I look like I'm quitting on the stool, even if his life he might feel is imperiled, he doesn't feel right, right? But he knows how vicious everyone's going to be if he quits. He's a quitter. So the fighter's going to say, most of the time, whether he wants to or not, no, I want to go. And he's got to sell that in the corner too, right? Corner man's got to be the guy to protect him from himself sometimes. Coach has got to be the guy to protect the superstar from himself sometimes, especially if he has the attitude LeBron does, which was Kobe's attitude that year. Now, we asked yesterday, but I'm going to ask you again, is LeBron playing too many minutes? He's playing more minutes at age 36 than any other Laker. I mean, listen, obviously LA has the need, again, with Schroeder out and AD out. But he's also playing more minutes than any other NBA player this month. And it'd be one thing if you said, yeah, that coincides with him winning. He needs to keep their head above water. But they're losing these games. And if anything, he's getting a little less effective. Don't forget, this ain't LeBron from Cleveland, where he was like the second go-around, where he's like, that Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, both ends of the floor on every play. It ain't going to work for me if I'm winning the championship or playing in the finals every year. I got to pick and choose. He was wise. He was judicious. That's one of the reasons he's able to play at this level all these years. Then AD challenged him to be more intense on the defensive end last year, and he has been. But you have to wonder, how much will he have left in the tank? Sometimes guys have to be saved from themselves, protected from themselves. All right, it's time for Breaking Moves with ESPN NBA senior writer, Dr. Andre Snellings.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
And Andre Snellings, ESPN NBA senior writer and analyst, joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on? Dr. Dre, I just realized. I just put it together.
yep. I have been getting that for quite a while. Yep.
Hold on.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
Andre, you have to be honest. The day you got your PhD, you didn't say, okay, I'm Dr. Dre now. You didn't have any friends, anything, anyone in your family. You called them up. Nobody.
People have been calling me Dr. Dre since NWA came out, you know. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got it, all I could say was, you know what, I may officially be Dr. Dre, but if the other Dr. Dre wants the title, you know, pass me a few of them millions of dollars and he can have it.
Yeah, well, on this show, it's Beats by Max, because everyone you get, you take your beating by Max. All right, Dre, let me ask you this. Can I call you Dre, or do I need to call you Doctor? Let me ask you this.
We're going to be on a first-name basis. Hit me with the Dre.
That's it. Dre, are you concerned with the minutes LeBron is playing?
I am not particularly concerned. I've been paying attention to it. Coming into the season, I was talking about how, you know, if he wasn't going to load manage, that he, you know, he and Anthony Davis were definitely going to start slower than everyone else and probably try to build up as the season went along. And I think that's kind of the plan they were on till AD got hurt. But, you know, you've been talking a lot about how McMenamin pointed out that he's number one in the NBA in minutes in February. But if you look at that, you know, he's averaging 38.2 minutes per game in February. That's not outlandish, especially when you factor in that he's played 5 overtime periods out of 11 games.
Yep.
So it's like if you take away those 25 minutes, because you know he's playing all the overtime, he's averaging like 35.9 minutes per game outside of that.
Yeah,
you know?
But Dre, this is what I'm saying. It's a good point to point it out. Look, they're playing a lot of overtime games. I'm just saying the body doesn't know it's overtime. In other words, yes, you're right. LeBron has enough value that even without AD, even without Schroeder, he's getting these games to overtime. But then he is playing the overtime period. I mean, don't they need to peel it back a little bit?
I feel that, but a couple of things. So last year, just, you know, listening to your segment before I came on, I just went in the middle of last season and picked out like a 10-game stretch. And he averaged 36 minutes a game over that stretch. It was in like February. So, you know, it's not that his current level is unheard of, even at his current, you know, pretty close to his current age. Now, yeah, you don't want to average that for the season, I would agree. But they're going into the All-Star break next week, right? So if he averages 36 to 38 minutes a game, you know, trying to keep the team a little bit of afloat while Davis and Schroeder are out, I don't think that's a death knell. Now, if we're talking February, March, April, and he's still putting up 38 minutes a game and trying to drag them to a high seed, then I would start to worry. But for right now, I mean, you know, keep an eye on it, but, you know, I don't think it's a red light yet.
Now, this may be an apocryphal story. And by the way, talking to Andre Snellings, ESPN NBA senior writer, analyst, friend of the show, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. So, but I recall years ago, a meteorologist being beaten by someone who predicted that the weather was going to be the same as it was today, tomorrow. In other words, not much changes, but little by little, summer becomes winter. You know, like you wake up one day and it's winter. And so when you say, hey, this is LeBron last year, pretty close to this year, it is. But, you know, no one plays 30 years and he's in 18. You know, one right. day, like every year at this point, you should be a little less effective than the year before. That's one. Two, you're absolutely right to point out the overtime, certainly, but he has been playing them. And you're coming off a COVID bubble, where, of course, as usual, he's playing and winning the finals. And then on a short rest in terms of, you know, the interim point between seasons, coming right back and getting ready, hopefully, to make another finals run. I just wonder at what point, not only in terms of chance for catastrophic injury, knock wood, that doesn't happen, but also in terms of his effectiveness, by the time the finals roll around, you say, wait a minute, this is uncharted waters. You know, no one's ever been this deep before in their career and played like this. And make a conscious effort, whether LeBron likes it or not, to take back the minutes a little bit, Andre.
No, I feel that. But then it becomes a question of, okay, well, what's the line, right? You know, he's averaging 38 for these last 10, 11 games, and, you know, that's a lot. If he was averaging 36, would it be fine? If he was averaging 34, would it? You know, like, it's a long game, right? You know, the NBA season is a marathon. So I guess my thought process is, even when you're running a marathon, there are parts of it that you run a little faster than others. You know, you might not get to a full sprint, but you move pretty good. Mm-hmm. And we know for LeBron, a full sprint in October, he averaged 40-something minutes a game, like 42 minutes a game for the playoffs. So that's a sprint for him right now. Right now, he's busting a good stride. So, again, if he wants to bust a good stride for a couple weeks going to the All-Star break, when he comes out, maybe he starts getting AD back, maybe the rest of the team is healthier, and he can, you know, pace himself back off again, then that's
quick,
one
Trey.
Thing.
Quick, Trey, I want to get to the Nets. Are you concerned at all? Not that PER is a perfect stat, of course, but it's a pretty good quick little view on how a guy's doing. Are you concerned
right.
at all that his PER is under 24 and falling, and it's the lowest it's been since he was a rookie?
Again, not really concerning. It's a small sample. It's just a short part of the season.
For the entire season.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But for the season, it's 20-something games. Like, another stat I'll bounce right back at you, real plus minus, which measures how the team does when a player is on the court and it correlates it to his value. LeBron James is number one in the NBA. You know, so, and I value that more than I do PER as a measure of how a player is impacting
sure,
the court.
Sure, although that also is teammate dependent. You know, real plus minus would be tougher for a guy with really good teammates, one would think.
I mean, it's not supposed to be. You know, real plus
but
minus is actually regressed to try
yeah,
to get teammates
yeah, yeah.
out as much as possible.
That's why it's real plus minus as opposed to plus minus. Okay, look,
yeah.
let's not. I don't want to get too far bogged down too much in that, because I want to get to the Nets.
Okay.
Andre, I believe, talking to Andre Snelling, ESPN NBA senior writer and analyst, I believe that the Nets, Harden's right, average defense is enough to make them, you know, put them in the finals, given the fact
yeah.
that I truly believe that by the end of this season, they will have by far the greatest offense of all time. Like it will, their offense is going to tower above any offense ever created. Okay. So, and their defense has gotten better over this stretch they've been on. Are they the best team in basketball, the Brooklyn Nets?
I'm not quite ready to go there. I still like the Lakers if healthy. There are still some teams in the East that I think Brooklyn could have some trouble with because they're so much stronger on defense and still have a strong offense. But I have been coming around on the Nets. Before the Harden trade, I wasn't high on them at all. I didn't think that they were going to be a top four seed in the East. After the Harden trade, I wasn't sure how it was going to mesh. But looking at them now, they essentially look like a Megatron version of the Rockets of a couple years ago. Mm. You know, you got Harden playing, you know, essentially the same role without as heavy of scoring, but the same kind of run the offense through me role in a D'Antoni system with D'Antoni on the bench. But now you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving instead of Chris Paul and role players. So I do think I've come around to them being extraordinarily dangerous. I don't think they're the clear favorites yet because you mentioned defense and also depth outside of that big three. You know, they had to give up so much of that young talent. Now, if they can get some young, athletic big men to kind of cycle in for some defense,
TLC,
then, ask me again.
TLC, Joe Harris, they still got, you know, the thing about a big three like they have is it makes the role players, it's the kind of team, the Nets, where you're like, oh, if TLC is hitting corner threes, you don't have a chance. But of course he's going to because of all the space created. Never in history has any team ever had three players who can all get their own shot at historically elite levels and hit from anywhere at historically elite levels. Three, mid-range, in the paint, from the free throw line. It's absurd. It's absurd what they have going on here. Oh, wait, I remember, Dre, before I let you go, you got a whole thing. You're trying to help the kids. And
yeah,
I want to help you plug that. Go ahead. What's going on?
Trick love the kids. All right, so I'm plugging. I'm on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on Twitch TV. The URL is twitch.tv/firstinspires. I'm doing a program called Changing the Game, STEM, Sports, and Advancing Equity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on there with, you know, a really
Nerd.
Cool panel.
Go ahead.
And I'll be talking about my pathway of coming from being a biomedical engineer that did brain research to now I'm a senior writer that does analytics for mm-hmm. ESPN. And the whole point of the endeavor is we want kids to be able to look at this and see people that look like them succeeding in the sports world, succeeding after coming through doing science, technology, and math, and seeing that it's a positive, that it can get you where you want to go, even if you're not necessarily the one dribbling the ball on the court or running down the field.
Kids that look – people that look like them, meaning in this case African-American or
well,
other –
yeah. Yeah, I'm African-American, you know, and it's Black History Month, but we'll have Jen Welter, the first female NFL coach. Mm-hmm. We'll have Aurelius Ramirez. She's a IT services manager for the Heat. Brittany Holterman, she's a two-time American Ninja Warrior. I just saw she's about to be on there again. So, you know, whether it's a black man, whether it's Latinos, whether it's females, we want people, and we're also going to have Sean Doolittle, who's a pitcher from the Reds. We want to have lots of people that have succeeded in lots of different ways because equity and advancing equity is another big part of the goal of this.
Before I let you go, particularly, the reason I say African, home in on African-American, other than the fact that you're African-American, is that particularly you see in front office jobs, in head coaching jobs, where the pipeline seems to come through offensive coordinators, the new kind of soft racism or racial assumptions that are bad assumptions are that the mathematical, the analytical, the sciencey guys who are getting the jobs, that group's not African American. The African American group is the group with experience on the field, but the other group, the analytical group, that's another group. That's not for them, right? But so I think it's important work you're doing because that's for every thinking is for everybody, and it should not be one of the ways in which there is kind of continued discrimination, conscious or not, inhibiting the progress of African Americans. There's been enough of that in our country's history. The great Andre Snellings, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Andre Snellings, Dr. Dre, as it were, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. As soon as Raj puts my screen back up, I will tell you exactly what we're going to get to. Coming right up. Let's see. Let's see what's going on here. And
B, do you see the screen? Everyone sees the screen except for you, Max. Here we go again. Another Commodore 64 moment.
And it's not there. Well, I can tell you we have a tremendous show coming up on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Just tremendous.
You got to remind him. Yeah. Just remind him of one thing, Max. Andre Snelling joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead.
He
Goodyear,
surely did.
More driven. Mm-hmm. And you know what you're going to do next, Max?
What's that?
There's
Tell
a team
me.
We were talking about. There is a team, a popular NFL team, that the longer they wait, the worse they're making it for themselves.
And let me also tell you that ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 job sites. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, Jerry Jones. Oh, my God, he's in that ditch. He just keeps digging. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jerry, you ain't going to win this one. And every move he makes makes it worse for himself. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Axe. Max.
All right, today is the day Dak can be franchise tagged for the second year in a row. Deadline to franchise a player is March 9th. Now, think about this. He's going to get $37 million if they franchise him and he signs. Guaranteed. He gets hurt week one. He gets all his money. Just like last year. Got hurt early, got all his money, almost $32 million. That would be almost $70 million in 2 years. Next year they try to do again, it's over $50 million. It's like $53 or $54 million. He's going to get his 120 in 3 years if you do it that way, but the Cowboys can't do it that way because it all counts against the cap. You can't prorate it like a signing bonus over several years. So obviously they're not going to franchise him again, which means either they're going to let him walk for nothing, and they can't trade him, they don't have his rights after next year. So either he's going to walk for nothing, or they're going to have to give him a deal. And think about this deal they'll have to give him next year. As long as he's healthy, knock wood. If you're set to make, with a franchise tag, $53 to $54 million a year, and today, when you're set to make $37 with a tag, and by the way, the third time is the last time they can franchise him. So today, you're like, all right, 3 years, $40 million a year. I was saying 4 years, $35 a year, now it's 3 years, $40 a year. What's it going to be next year? Jerry Jones lost this. Like, it was unfolded in a way where at different times he could have done different things, signed him up before he was near the end of his rookie deal in the 20s maybe. Or then when the rookie deal lapsed, say, look, I'll give you the Wentz deal or the Goff deal. Or then take away a year. There are all different kinds of things he could do. He didn't do any of them. And now Dak wins. Dak wins. Jerry going to give him exactly what he wants. 888-SAY-ESPN. Wesley from Houston, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Wesley from Houston. Darren from California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, hey Max, what would you think if the Chiefs trade Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Dolphins' 18th overall pick and drafted Najee Harris?
I like Helaire, although running backs, even dynamic running backs who can catch passes, are a little fungible. You know, like you can approximate their value easier than you think. Most of running back production, it turns out, is offensive line. It's run blocking. I think what do the Chiefs really need? Kansas City needs a little more on defense. And they're going to have to address the offensive line. Although the offensive line, when their tackles were healthy, was good. Brooklyn James from Brooklyn. It's a good thing you're from Brooklyn and not like Staten Island or Queens, because then Brooklyn James doesn't work, does it?
Peace, peace to all my mores and mods across the world. Thank you, Max, for what you do. Yes, sir. I'm straight from Brooklyn. I got three hot takes, and I want you to write them down and check the tape. One, the Brooklyn Nets is winning the chip. Two, the Indianapolis Colts with Carson Wentz is winning the bowl. And three, once the Brooklyn Nets win the chip, he's going to take the crown. Crown Kevin Durant, Frank White. Peace.
First of all, I need to know, what is going on with everyone's voice? At first, I thought maybe someone, you know, had the thing with the windpipe and everything. I didn't want to say anything. Everyone's
yeah.
Darth Vader today?
No, I thought it was the DOC. You know, calling it. We had Dr. Dre on earlier.
The DOC?
And now the DOC.
It's the Diggy Diggy Doc, y'all. Yeah, listen.
I don't know what's going on.
Listen, is something going on with the phone lines?
I think everyone just wants to hide their voice. They don't want to give their real voice.
Not that I
they're
mind.
They're all in the witness protection program.
Exactly.
Not that I mind. It sounds pretty cool. I kind of like it. I feel like I'm on The Mandalorian or something.
Yeah, we got to investigate this phone situation because something is up.
Something's up with the phones. Well, that sounded fresh, though. I'm not going to lie. First of all, Carson Wentz ain't winning no bowl. Everyone's too cool for school. The bowl. You mean the Super Bowl? Yeah, he ain't winning the Super Bowl with the Colts. Carson Wentz never won a playoff game. He hasn't. Had one great year, or most of it. 13 through week 14, he had a great year. That was it. Nets could win the chip, and if they do, KD might take over from LeBron this year. And what was the other prediction? The Trade Federation was going to crush the rebellion? I forgot.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Something was
something
going
about
on.
The FBI, DEA. I don't know.
All right. Well, guests join us on the Goodyear hotline. That's what I have to tell you now. Hey, New York. Are the Knicks and the Nets about to get a boost? Stream Why Not Us, the new series from executive producers Chris Paul and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN+. Why Not Us follows the North Carolina Central University basketball team and reveals what it means to be a student-athlete at an historically black college and university. Only on ESPN+, along with the Max Kellerman Show and hours of daily sports talk.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Some breaking news, a developing story, I suppose you could say. It's not good. ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. During the break, I was informed that Tiger Woods was in a single vehicle rollover accident per the LMTLASD. Woods had to be extricated from the crash with the jaws of life, police said. So, again, I don't know about his condition. I don't know how serious it is. I don't know what the cause of the accident was. But, again, Tiger Woods was injured in a single vehicle rollover accident and had to be extricated from the crash with the jaws of life. Single car crash near Los Angeles. This according to the LA County Sheriff's. Emergency personnel extricated Woods with the vehicle using the jaws of life, as I mentioned, according to the county sheriffs. He was taken to the local hospital for his injuries, and his condition is unknown at this time. Emergency personnel responded to a rollover crash at approximately 7:12 a.m. local time. Woods' car sustained major damage. That's a quote, sustained major damage in the crash, according to the county sheriffs. You hope Tiger is okay. And a lot of questions at this moment. First of all, is he going to be okay? Secondly, is he going to be physically okay going forward? You know, assuming that, you know, if in fact he's going to be okay in a larger sense. What was the cause? Apparently it was a single vehicle crash. And that's all there is, I suppose, to report at this time. And of course, we'll keep you updated as information comes in. But again, in case you're just tuning in, Tiger Woods was injured Tuesday, it's today, in a single car crash near Los Angeles, according to the LA County Sheriffs. Emergency personnel extricated Woods from the vehicle using the jaws of life, taken to a local hospital for his injuries. Condition unknown at this time. And but his car, according to the LA County Sheriffs, and this is a quote, sustained major damage. So I don't know what else to say about this right now. Hopefully everyone is okay and Tiger Woods is okay. And again, we'll be updating you according, you know, as information comes in. Here's a statement from Woods' agent, Mark Steinberg. Quote, Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California where he suffered multiple leg injuries. He is currently in surgery, and we thank you for your privacy and support. Multiple leg injuries. Okay. My first thought is that doesn't sound life-threatening. That's a big sigh of relief because that's the first thing you think when you hear a rollover accident, the jaws of life. Is he going to live? And the fact that his agent is releasing a statement saying he suffered multiple leg injuries makes me think maybe it's not speculation, but maybe it's not life-threatening. And then the question, of course, becomes, what is the extent of the multiple leg injuries? Hopefully he's okay. And what impact will that have if he is okay on his professional career going forward? But that's what's known right now. Tiger Woods in a single car accident. It was a rollover accident. Extricated from his vehicle with the jaws of life. Taken to the hospital. Condition unknown, but his agent, I will repeat it again, Mark Steinberg said, quote, Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California where he suffered multiple leg injuries. He's currently in surgery. We thank you for your privacy and support. So this kind of brings proceedings right now to a screeching halt because that's kind of a tough turn to take and to get into LeBron's minutes played and stuff like that. And are the Nets a threat? And what are the Cowboys going to do about Dak Prescott when Tiger Woods' agent reporting essentially on his car accident this morning at 7:12 a.m. said he's in the hospital where, you know, he's in surgery right now, currently in surgery, at least when Mark Steinberg released the statement. Roger, were you aware of when his agent released this statement?
I am not sure when that happened, but we are looking into this. Reach out to our good friend Michael Collins, of course, a great golf analyst, funny caddy for ESPN and ESPN Radio. He's on the air until 4, but he's going to send us some updates as well. So we'll be all over this and on top of it.
Sir, so he's in surgery for multiple leg injuries that in one way I breathe a sigh of relief because I am inferring that means it's not life-threatening, and hopefully he's okay. What's going on with Tiger? Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.